Novelist T.R. Pearson made a splash with his 1985 debut, A Short History of a Small Place. Since then, he's written 6 comic novels, all set in the rural South, all marked by country logic and winding sentences worthy of Faulkner. Pearson hasn't had a book published in 8 years. His new novel, Blue Ridge, marks a departure from his earlier work. Tom Vitale reports.
T.R. Pearson's earlier fiction never ventured north of Virginia, yet the author himself has spent a good bit of time in New York City. When the North Carolina native married his New York literary agent, he began to commute between homes in Virginia and apartments in the city.
I've been living in the city for half the year for about the past 15 or 16 years, and since I write in the mornings, I had time in the afternoons to walk around, and I spent a lot of time walking around the city, and particularly to the locations that I think a lot of New Yorkers don't visit. My wife and I had an apartment well up in upstate Manhattan at one point in Washington Heights, and so I had time to, you know, to walk around the Cloisters and up at Inwood Hill Park and interesting places that I wouldn't have seen otherwise.
Like Pearson's life, his novel Blue Ridge is split between Virginia and New York. It's a mystery novel with 2 plots. Ray Tatum is a deputy sheriff in Virginia assigned to investigate a set of human bones found on the Appalachian Trail. His cousin Paul Tatum is an insurance clerk in Roanoke who is summoned to New York to identify the remains of his estranged 19-year-old son. Shortly after Paul arrives in the city, he's abducted by a criminal named Giles. Giles murders a man, then takes Paul on a tour of the Cloisters Museum.
Giles studied the medieval tapestries, the Catalan sarcophagi, the Gothic choir stalls carved with scenes from the life of the Virgin. He marveled over an elaborately tooled crucifix of walrus ivory, delighted in the play of sunlight through the Austrian stained glass. From the West Terrace, we admired together the view of the Palisades across the river and the lattice towers of the George Washington Bridge. Standing in a turret at the head of the walkway, I could see our forest to the north with its massive hardwoods and its canopy of leafless limbs, with its cindered trails, I knew now, and its rooty, hard-packed floor, with its ebony squirrels and its trash and its graffiti, with its doves and its pigeons and its mistletoe, I'd noticed, far up in the reaches of an oak, with its bloodied corpse oozing into its sluggish trickle of a creek.
The New York portrayed in this book is certainly one of the most fascinating, but it's a dangerous, soulless place.
Jacqueline Carey reviewed Blue Ridge for the New York Times. Sitting in a Midtown cafe, Carey says Pearson has pulled off a rare trick. He's written a genre novel that's literary, a book that's both thoughtful and entertaining.
He's incredibly funny. And really, he has whole passages, not just sentences, which I think are pretty easy, you know, relatively to do, but whole passages that really just make the hair stand up in the back of your neck. Just you go, wow, that is just great.
T.R. Pearson wrote 6 critically acclaimed novels before Blue Ridge, the last of which was Cry Me a River in 1993. Then he dropped off the literary radar.
I needed a break, and I tried teaching writing for a semester and wasn't any good at that. And then I was at the movies one day and watching something dreadful, you know, Son of Patch Adams, something like that. And I just got disgusted and decided that I could do just as well writing a screenplay. And I wrote a couple, and they circulated among producers, and I actually started getting some work.
Pearson worked as an uncredited screenwriter, adapting the John Grisham stories The Rainmaker and The Gingerbread Man. Pearson met Grisham while he was teaching at the writing program at Ole Miss. Grisham has called Pearson his favorite writer, but Pearson says legal thrillers are not his strength as a writer. Then Disney hired Pearson to adapt a magazine article about a gang of thieves in Queens who pose as drug enforcement agents.
And the producer I was working with wanted to make this into a gritty urban crime movie like Serpico, he kept telling me. His immediate boss, the studio executive, wanted to take the same material and make it into a comedy, like Night Shift, about a 20-year-old movie with Michael Keaton and Henry Winkler. And they agreed to disagree. They never could reconcile these 2 different views, and so I ended up writing a screenplay that was sort of a gritty urban zany comedy drama. Like Serpico and Night Shift. And at one point, depending on who I talked to, the lead role was to be played by Martin Lawrence or David Duchovny.
That film, says Pearson, was mercifully never produced. But his screenwriting experience did have its benefits. It paid for a big new house near Roanoke. Pearson says he learned how to get to the point and how to write dialogue, which was non-existent in his early books. And it drove him back to writing fiction. Blue Ridge retains one of the hallmarks of his early work, his knack for description. In one scene, the criminal Giles takes his prisoner to a trendy downtown restaurant.
Giles summoned the captain with eye contact alone. As Giles ordered wine, I took occasion to consider the other diners who were a handsome lot and well-dressed in what I had to suppose was a Tony and up-to-the-minute sort of way. I had never before imagined black could come in so many hues. Flat deep black, middling black, faded black, glossy black, sheer black tinted by flesh tone peeking through from underneath.
Pearson says by now he's not quite the fish out of water that his character Paul Tatum is, but he still notices the things that Paul notices.
I'm a Southerner. I look at things from, and I still tend to look, you know, to consider what I see in New York from an outsider's point of view. I don't feel like a New Yorker and don't claim to be.
The 44-year-old writer says he's already finished his next novel. T.R. Pearson says the follow-up to Blue Ridge is set exclusively in Virginia.
By the time we lifted off, it was growing dusky out, and the sun was half hidden by the marshy squalor of metropolitan New Jersey. Our route carried us northeast briefly over the Long Island Sound, and then we banked back to the south at a pitch I found disturbing. We picked up the Hudson at the Palisades and were following the course of it toward the harbor when the pilot came on with an alarming crackle over the cabin speakers. Beautiful view of the New York skyline for you folks on the left. I looked out my window where the view, in fact, was dazzling. It almost, I heard the pilot add, looks civilized from here.
For NPR News, I'm Tom Vitale in New York.